She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. And I promise you, once again, our guest, Scott Roberts, will give you quite a bit to think about. Thank you so much for joining us today, Scott. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it has. And I just want to thank you so much for inviting me to be a guest on the show, because appearing on your show in the past has really elevated the number of people that have seen Gasholm, and Jeremy and I so appreciate that.
Well, I guarantee you, since you've been last on, hopefully we'll be able to do it again, because it's we'll talk about it a little bit more in the show. I first have to do some of my announcements,
sure.
Not have to, but like to, and it's been a big, big growth for both of us since I think it's almost 4.5 years ago. So that's kind of hard to believe.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I think it has been. Anyway, this show is sponsored by Chapman Tucson, and we're very happy that they are one of our major sponsors. And for my clean diesel TDI that they provide for me, and the green team that I get to coach and train each month, and they're great sponsors. So a little bit about Scott before I talk about EcoBella. Scott, so that all of our listeners who just tuned in, is one of the producers of the movie Gasholm. And we sent out an e-blast this week, and you can believe me that it's just such a fun play on words that people said, Gasholm, really, Gina, or really, Mrs. Green? And I guarantee you that you will be shocked, surprised, and informed about things that Scott has to share. He was an eye-opener for the beginning of the Mrs. Green's journey. He and his partner, Jeremy, are up to really big things on the planet. So stay here with us as we continue to learn with Scott. I don't want the show to get off the air without my saying a heartfelt happy Thanksgiving to everybody who is a part of Mrs. Green's World. I, for one, feel very, very grateful, very blessed. I have lots of things to be thankful for this year. I have friends in New Jersey, friends in New York, and the challenges there, and the millions of people still impacted by Hurricane Sandy. The stories continue to come in to me every day. So if you're in a position to support the relief efforts in any way, I encourage you to do that. My belief is every little bit counts. If you have $5, they can use that. So wherever you are, maybe the way that you give thanks is by doing something to support the relief efforts for the millions of people. There's pets, cats, dogs, horses that need to be fed. Just try to do something. And then on a very up note, please remember to join me here every Saturday at noon Arizona time at MrsGreensWorld.com. You can listen on your iPhone. You can listen on your Droid. If you can't listen on a Saturday because you're busy at noon, our podcasts are up within about 24 hours. Lots of people are downloading them. You'll want to replay Scott Roberts' podcast numerous times, because some of the stuff he'll share with us, I think you might find a little bit unbelievable, and trust me, it's not. Connect with me on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram. I love saying all those things, because when I first started, Scott, it was a half-hour talk radio show on Clear Channel. So it's like, now Mrs. Green does Instagram. I just can't find out where I put anything. If you have any questions for me or Scott, we'll always get them answered. info@mrsgreensworld.com. And then one last quick shout-out, and we'll make it all about Scott and Gasholm and his partner and his new book coming out. But we have a wonderful sponsor from back east, EcoBella. You hear me speak about them each week. It's part of their partnership with me. I'm a loyal customer of their products. And they would like very much for you to use natural and organic intelligent products on your body. I encourage you to. I'm going to say on a personal note, three very dear friends of mine have cancer, and I found out this week. So there's my little crack in my voice, and I think it's all related to everything in the environment. So I'm in hyper Mrs. Green mode at this point, saying let's live healthier, longer lives. I share a common mission with EcoBella, because they are committed to the highest standards of corporate and environmental stewardship and to our health. They're friends of the planet, and they're friends of the four-leggeds. None of their products have been tested on animals, and they indeed support a number of nonprofits dedicated just to the care and safety of animals. They told me on their Facebook page that this is National Vegan Month, and I still have quite a ways to go before I can announce I'm vegan, openly admit that. I did not know it was National Vegan Month, so I encourage you to not only visit their website at ecobella.com, and it's two C's and two L's, but like their page on Facebook. They've got a very interesting, interactive Facebook page, and that's what I want to say about Ecobella. So, Scott, you are somewhat of a Superman to me, and I don't want to embarrass you, and I don't say that all the time, but you went from, you know, I do my homework. You studied acting at the American Conservatory Theater in San Francisco, and you did make some films. You were a star in a film, and I loved it, Rod in The Chicks Man, and I want to know more about that on another show someday.
Oh,
jeez. I'm sure I would love
You're
that.
You're pulling up the path.
I love it. It's always, you know, we've got everything's on the internet now, so be careful what you put out there.
Oh, no.
But not unlike a lot of great producers and writers and directors, that wasn't enough for you, so you had to get behind the camera, and you had to make things happen in a very different way. And from where I sit, you become very successful at it, working with New Line, Warner Brothers, Paramount, and your business really is changing lives, you and your partners. And I want to say this without rushing through it. You changed my life because I was right in the beginning of the Mrs. Green journey. I call it waking up. And I saw your movie and I went, you've got to be flipping kidding me. And then it was like kind of like the gateway drug where you had a little bit and then you have to have a little more and a little more. So I've really stayed on this track. You know, the movie Gasland, I lost a client over my stand on fracking. A big client, by the way, because I wrote a letter called What the Frack. So it's you really helped to ignite my passion. And let's start talking about your journey and, you know, from a background on you to the actor to the writer, producer, and what made you move into action to make such an important film as Gashole.
Well, you know, starting out as an actor, it's such a competitive business, and it's so difficult to get your foot in the door and make a living. And, you know, that was my passion from the beginning, is acting. And once I realized that there are different ways of telling a story, and with writing and producing and directing, that really kind of led me to that area. And I just felt, instead of saying someone else's words, it would be fantastic if I could write the words and then help people with the words I write, or at least inform people or make people think. So that was a natural progression behind the camera. And, you know, I met Jeremy Wagner on the film that you were talking about called Chicks Man.
Someday we can do a short, like, non-commercial break film, a radio show about that. I want to know more.
Yeah, it was just such a fun journey, and it was the first time that I'd worked with Jeremy, and we really got along well and enjoyed working with each other in the creative collaboration. And so we had made the decision to make a documentary, you know, let's do something together, let's work. And it wasn't until I saw that letter in a newspaper written by the gentleman who remembered seeing technology and was showed technology and saw where huge vehicles, much heavier than the vehicles that we drive today, were getting, you know, 100 miles per gallon. And we read the letter and thought it was interesting enough to contact him.
And he was still alive. I remember saying that. Oh, my
yes.
God, he's still alive.
Yeah, Ken Cundy. And we went and talked to him. We put him on camera. And then afterwards we said, you know what? Regardless of whether or not you believe that you could achieve 100 miles per gallon or that they were achieving it back in the day, and we're talking about, you know, late 40s, we thought it was interesting enough to at least look into it and see the possibility of it being a reality. And it just led us on this journey, you know, a 3.5-year journey making the film, and just everything from going back to the history of oil, going back to Rockefeller, and looking at a few technologies that we uncovered along the years that dramatically increased fuel economy, and the stories of the people who invented them and their hurdles that they had to jump through, and all the red tape because of the oil companies either buying up their patents or doing whatever possible to keep that technology from coming to market.
And what happened to the good guys? Tell us about some of those technologies, because it, you know, we have regressed so much, and there was a lot of ugliness in it. And if people didn't see the film, it's not depressing. To me, it's exciting about what can happen if we go back to the future.
Right, right. And one of the things that Jeremy and I focused on was not alienating anyone.
Right. Right.
When we researched, we reached out to both sides of the aisle. We interviewed both Republicans and Democrats, and we really didn't want to take a stance. We wanted to present the information that we discovered and really open a dialogue about the topic, because, I mean, debate is such a lost art, you know?
Because it is. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, we're such in this pattern of, if you don't believe the same way I believe, you're wrong. Instead of opening up and listening to other ideas, you know, maybe changing your stance on things that you weren't educated about. But we're so just pointing the fingers and right versus left, and there's such a divide in the country. But one of the constants that we have, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent or a libertarian, is people have to buy gas to get to work. And we're all paying the same price. Well, actually, that's not true. In different states, we're paying different prices.
That's right. We're going to California on Wednesday, and we get off the plane, we're like, what? Is that a four, as in $4?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, people forget here in California, we're still getting hammered. I mean, there's been some relief over the last month or so, but I'm sure we'll get into talking about oil speculation and the myth of supply and demand. But getting back to what you're talking about, technology, you know, it's so funny because I remember when the big screen TV came out and everybody wanted a big screen and everyone wanted a 70-inch and an HD. And then we reverted to everybody being excited about being able to watch a movie on a 2-inch by 4-inch phone, which is so odd. It's like, I remember somebody, hey, check out my phone, and he had a back on it that set it up, that it would stand up, and you could watch a movie. And I'm thinking, why would that be so exciting? But anyway.
And baby, look at us now.
Yeah, it's like, well, that's not really an advancement. But if you look now, I mean, look at the iPhone, look at the technology that's out there. And it's just hard for me as a consumer, and especially doing so much research with Jeremy for the films, to think that we cannot achieve much better fuel economy. That people get excited because, wow, the EPA says it gets 31 miles to gallon. I mean, to me, it's not really an advancement.
No, and it really isn't an advancement. My car, I mentioned it, I drive a TDI, a Jetta, and mm-hmm. I get 40 easily. And I tell everybody, we went from the middle of Tucson to downtown San Diego, and it was $37. People like to hear that. If you just put it in dollars, it's like, you got to be kidding me. So diesel's a little bit more, but it goes a lot farther.
Right. So, you get more bang for the buck.
More bang for the buck. So one of the big things that you said in the movie that came to me is, we went from being one of the largest exporters of oil to one of the largest importers. Can you give us the Reader's Digest version of what happened in that segue? That really wasn't a segue, it was a switch. Segue is not the right word. It was like, okay, we flipped. What happened?
You know, it's so unbelievable, because it really wasn't that long ago. 40 years ago, maybe 45 years ago. Yeah, we were the leading exporter. And I think a lot of it has to do with the advancements of other countries, the population, the demand for crude. And, you know, it shifted in the 70s when OPEC and, you know, we completely relied on other people for our fuel. And really what that's caused, it's destabilized our national security. We pay attention to what's happening in the Middle East, not only from a political standpoint and hopefully a human rights standpoint, but we also look at it from a dollars and cents. And, you know, anything that happens over there, the speculators go wild and our prices vary.
But then what, to me, there's a little bit more in between there, because we went and who was involved in the decision. We closed down oil wells. And I'm going to be honest, I didn't know that. You know, I'm from New Jersey. I was, you know, I had a great happy childhood. I was a Shakespeare major. And then I'm not joking or trying to, you know, I am prone to hyperbole, but I'm not joking when I said I sat and watched your film and I'm like, why did we shut down all of our oil wells? Whose conscious decision was that? And what part did the oil companies play? I don't want to make them the big bad wolf, because I agree with you. How can we talk to where do we get to a solution and something that's better for the planet? But give us a little bit of the, there were secrets, and there were and there continue to be, in my opinion, some things that the oil companies didn't want us to know.
Well, you know, one of the surprising things we found out is right during the height of the oil crisis in the 70s here, there were trucking companies that were taking full loads of refined gasoline and driving them out in the desert and dumping them.
That is like just, I remember, like gasp, like what?
Yeah, and then, you know, we found a lot of people across the United States that had wells on their properties that were being paid not to pump the oil.
Everybody hear that? They're being paid. It's like being paid not to grow crops, being paid mm-hmm. not to pump the oil. And now we're not going to do a show right now on fracking, but now they're paying people to go in and, in my opinion, do lots of devastating things to the environment, the water, the flora and the fauna, paying people to drill, you know, hydraulic fracking. So we're coming full circle in a rather ugly way, if you ask me. So,
yeah, but, you know, something that shouldn't go unnoticed and I want to commend you for is the fact that you stood up for your beliefs and lost a sponsor.
I really did. And no, I gave them what for. It's like, you're kidding. You should be against fracking, too.
And that shouldn't go unnoticed, because it's people like you that have integrity and stand by their beliefs and are willing to give up a few dollars to make your point made.
Yeah, that's a big one for me. And there was just something out very recently that Andy Revkin did about, you know, people try to argue with me that it's, you know, green jobs and it's not that bad for the environment and it's a natural renewable. And I'm like, you're looking at one quarter of the circle. That's it, one
right.
fourth of it, not the three quarters of it. And Andy Revkin, who I really admire as well, and I've had him on the show, you know, they're getting pictures of the gas, you know, the toxic gases that are escaping from these fracking sites. It's like, people, come on. I don't have any investment in this outcome other than that I'm a steward of the planet. It's, you know, I don't have any sponsor telling me to say this. It's
right.
It's again, it's big oil revisited, only it's big natural gas. And so let's not get off on that one. Really, it's like that is a bad one for me. So let's talk about this. You know, and it's you can say, Gina, let's go back. I really want to do this, whatever, because the show
sure.
has a flow. But you released the film in early 2011. Is that right? So it couldn't have been that long ago that I had you on my show. But time flies.
Well, you know, the process of making a documentary when it's, you know, basically two people doing everything and we don't have backing from a studio or finances from a production company, you know, the process takes much longer because we're paying for everything. We're traveling. We're, you know, putting the movie together. So we started in 2006, finished in, or we started in 2005, finished in 2008. And went on a tour across the country.
That's when I first saw you.
Yes.
That's when I met you. Okay.
Which was a fantastic experience to actually get out and share the film and open up dialogue, because, you know, people that came to the film, we had people who were, you know, thought we were crazy, and we had people that, you know, swore by what we were saying. So we had a very diverse group and had interesting Q&As afterwards. And then, it, you know, it's a long process. You try and show the movie. You try and get a distributor or sales agent. We landed a distributor in 2010 for foreign, and then we landed Cinema Libre Studio, which handled all of our domestic sales. And that's the official release date was in April 2011.
Okay, because I'm saying I know I saw this film before 2011. I know time's flying, but it was way before that. It really was when I just first started. And did having distributors help? You know, to me, we're going to talk at the end of the hour about your book, because I wrote a book, and boy, I'll tell you, when you talk about the challenges of even getting someone to look at it, which I have only had one small success on that, but what a journey, and you have the courage to not only get a film produced, working on another one, but then you have the guts to write a book, which is the whole next part of that. There you go. Okay,
Go ahead.
No, it's daunting. And we have 1 minute before we take a break. And when we come back, if it's okay with you to give you something to think about over the break, without getting into any dirty political conversations or accusatory, I would like to ask you about if you've seen any substantive differences between the Bush administration policies and Obama's administration policies, policies as it relates to energy and alternative fuel. There's no setup on my part. And I guess my deeper question is, how much impact can one administration really have? That's where I'm beginning to go. So please stay here with me. We're with Scott Roberts, the producer of the film Gas Hole, and so much more. Stay here with us. We've got a lot more to share.
University of Arizona professor John Pollard asked the students in the Posada San Pedro Hall to consider bringing solar energy to the dorm. Just 3 years later, the Solar Cats, a group of students who took up the cause, have installed 44 solar panels on the dorm, saving 20,000 kilowatt hours of energy and reducing greenhouse gas emissions by 14 metric tons every year. Talk about students with a sunny future. The University of Arizona. Big questions, bold solutions, better tomorrows.
Hi, I'm Abbott Taylor. With over 35 years creating jewelry in Tucson, no one has more experience in designing and making diamond jewelry in Tucson than Abbott Taylor Jewelers. Please come in and see some of the thousands of designs we have created, or come in and have us design something original just for you. Whether you're looking for a simple and stylish graduation gift, your engagement ring, or a breathtaking jewelry piece to celebrate an important birthday or anniversary, you can't beat our competitive diamond pricing. With 100% trade-up guaranteed, set in an Abbott Taylor jewelry design, always using earth-friendly recycled gold. Abbott Taylor Jewelers, exquisite jewelry designs and exceptional diamond deals created right here in Tucson for over 35 years. Abbott Taylor Jewelers at 6383 East Grant Road, on Facebook and on the web at atdiamonds.com. Diamond designs for everyone. Abbott Taylor Jewelers.
It's got advanced technology. It's got major breakthroughs in technology everywhere you look. It's the 2013 Honda Accord. Hi there, this is Mrs. Green, and I want to share with you that after nearly 40 years of heritage, this is the most stunning Accord ever. The highly respected Automotive Magazine raves that the 2013 Honda Accord offers unparalleled talent of goodness. Please visit Chapman Honda at 4646 East 22nd Street in Tucson to check it out and see for yourself.
You know how they say your donation to Goodwill changes lives?
Well, it's true.
It's true.
Well, it's true.
Goodwill.
Goodwill gave my son a chance.
My mom, hope.
My brother, a sense of purpose.
And help my dad find a job.
Goodwill helps thousands of people.
People like us every year.
People like us.
Every year.
Your donations to Goodwill do change lives. Please donate today.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. Thank you so much for joining us and thinking with us today. Our guest, Scott Roberts, who is the producer, one of the producers of the movie Gas Hole, is joining us. And the movie is really about foreign oil, inventions that somehow disappeared, our dependency on it, and also one of hope, change, and things that we can do to maybe move the needle in another direction, which would be our lack of dependency on foreign oil and more miles per gallon every day in every way for all the hundreds of millions of miles we drive. Scott, thanks for taking the time to be with us today.
Well, thank you, Gina, for having me.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the administrations. And like I said, the success I've had in 4.5 years in growing the show, and since I interviewed you, I left Fox and came and built my own studio and went national and international because I believe that much in all of you and getting the message out. I'm kind of in a space of how much power does one man have, and yet that where I sit, policies can have far-reaching impact if everybody isn't watching. So what's your take on the Bush administration versus the Obama administration in these areas for clean energy and those topics that you know a lot more about?
Well, you know, what's interesting is when, President Bush was up for re-election or during his terms, you know, everybody brought up, oh, when he took office, it was X amount of dollars a gallon, and now it's this much a gallon. And they did the same thing with President Obama. When he came into office, it was this, and now it's at this price. And, you know, Jeremy and I looked, going back in history, and looked at, you know, why aren't things moving, whether it's the left or the right, why aren't things moving forward more quickly? And, you know, if you want to assess both administrations, I mean, so far, it's apparent that President Obama is investing more in alternative energy and really looking to push that sector, create green jobs. And, you know, he's going to have setbacks. Anybody who invests in something new, just, you know,
right,
he's going to have the Solyndras, and he's going to, you know, there's going to be missteps along the way or miscalculations, but you have to, you know the saying, you got to spend money to make money, and I think that rings true too in that sector. And
let's talk about Solyndra for a minute. Can we stop?
I'm sorry,
for a second?
I got sidetracked just for a second. What I was saying is the constant between a Republican and a Democratic administration, the one constant is the consistent amount of money that flows into D.C. from oil and gas.
Okay.
I mean, that's the constant. That's
right.
There's so much money that pours in.
And with Solyndra, I mean, I'm in all over this solar thing. We have a great solar tech park here, and we have a utility company that happens to be one that consistently wins awards for their alternative energy initiatives. And we have someone named Roger Angel, who's one of the preeminent scientists in solar research. But Solyndra, that's one where I did do a lot of research about it, and it was really a market shift that caused that company to just go down in flames, not bad lending. You know, the technology changed at a time that killed them. So it wasn't like a big, dirty behind closed door deal. They were flying high. And then the technology to produce solar panels literally were turned to pennies on the dollar from what they were manufacturing. So it's like, it's always easy to wave that flag of blame in somebody's face. But I like to try to dig a little deeper, even if it's an issue that I don't agree with. You know what I mean? So that's my two cents about Solyndra.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, the guaranteed loan was over $500 million. And just, I think it was just the other day, they reported that Solyndra sold for $90
million. Yeah.
I mean, that's a hit, no doubt. But if you look at BP, you know, they have to pay out, what, $4.5 billion in settlements that was just announced.
Yeah, and they're not even going to blink at that.
Well, I was just going to say their profits for 2011 were almost $24 billion.
So if you
take, that would be like, the average person who makes, let's say, $50,000 a year, and they are the cause of a catastrophic event loss of life, loss of business opportunities, and damage to the environment, you would be fining them $9,000.
Yeah. It's like, it's all how you look at it. And I think $4 billion, they don't even care. Their shareholders do, because they won't make as much money.
Well,
but
sure.
It's really, it's rather disgusting to me. And I get to say that because it's Mrs. Green's world. So
absolutely.
Okay.
And you know what's interesting is when you go on BP's website, or you look at their investor relations page, and they don't even use the word billion. They don't have that.
What do they do? What do they say?
For their profits, they talk about millions. So their profits for 2011 were it was 23,900 million. That's how they.
That's really a new spin. I love that.
Yeah, I didn't. I was looking on there and I thought, wow. We're at that point. I don't think they're going to drop below billions, so you can put the B word back.
Okay, that's right. We know that. We can do that kind of math. We're smart enough. getting back to the meat of the movie, you said that you interviewed representatives from the Department of Energy and congressional mm-hmm. leaders from both sides of the aisles, Democrats and Republicans, and alternative fuel producers, alternative fuel consumers.
Mm-hmm.
Professors, you really did a lot of research. Just highlight a little bit of, did you find surprises? Were you shocked at some of the things? Were there people that were not willing to talk to you, or that you think were not being honest in the answers they gave? I want people that haven't seen the movie to get a feel for what they can see if they take the time to go to your website and get the movie.
Yeah, it's, I think one of the shocking things Jeremy and I found out was, during Katrina, during the price spike, during all the congressional hearings, one of the shocking things we found out in the research is that at that time, the two chairmen of the House Energy Committee, Energy and Commerce Committee, one was Joe Barton and one was Sam Hall.
Uh-huh.
And these two gentlemen really are out there to police the industry for the consumers. They're there to keep everyone in line. And one of the things we uncovered, and it wasn't that difficult to uncover, were those two were the two politicians who took the most money from oil and gas in the entire city of D.C. Out of any politician anywhere, you had two guys who took the most money from oil and gas making decisions that affect consumers. And I think that really shed a lot of light on, wow, all you got to do is watch where the money flows. I mean, Chevron here in California is having a tough time because, they had the shutdown at the Richmond refinery.
Right.
It was a fire. And, they came out and said, look, prices spiked because we had to shut down production. We had a fire. And that's understandable. I mean, you can't fault, you'd hope that someone wouldn't start a fire on purpose. In the process, it was discovered that they had and I don't even know if you're familiar with this because it's buried in the papers here. They found a diversion pipe when they were trying to fix the pipes that burned, and the diversion pipe was purposely shooting pollutants into the air and avoiding the meter that registers their pollutant and basically sets what their carbon tax is or their fine.
Of course, so, I did not know that. Oh, that is just like, okay, take another deep breath because Scott Roberts drops another unknown bomb. That's disgusting.
Well, it is known. It's not like a secret. I didn't have to, look at any documents like we did for a gas hole or try and get secret documents. It's there. It's just not being talked about.
It's not on the front page. And to me, that a shooting could supplant a message of this import is not uncommon. I mean, when we get news flashes here, there can be wonderful good news. You can have El Tour de Tucson, which we have going on today. But if something really bad happens on the south side, that's what the news people think that we want to hear. And I, of course, delete it. So they were spewing pollution into the atmosphere so they didn't have to count it in their clean air standards, their air quality standards. That's what
Absolutely.
You're saying? Okay.
It was a diversion pipe. the diverted pollutants away from the meter.
Right.
And was shooting it into the atmosphere. And, you know, this comes, and then now there's an independent report, and I don't know, this just came out yesterday, where, you know, Senator Maria Cantwell, I'm not sure if you're familiar with her, a Democrat from Washington, who's very, I mean, she takes on the oil companies all the time, her and Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer.
Three women, that's good. Okay, I have to just say that.
Well, there's three women, which is, you know, it's fantastic, but one of the things Jeremy and I found out is anytime anybody takes on an oil company or big oil, if you do a little background, you go to opensecrets.org or you do and find out, you know, who's giving them money. And I would say 90% of the time anybody that takes on an oil company has taken no money from them.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
And that, which is, it's interesting. But they're doing an independent study now because of this price spike at the Chevron, the problem at the Chevron refinery, and an independent study found out that even though they claim to have been shut down and damaged, the independent report said that they were producing exactly the same amount as before. And so Maria Cantwell and Dianne Feinstein are reaching out to the Department of Justice to do a refinery-by-refinery audit.
Right. Sounds like a really good idea to me.
Yeah, but, well, it's, makes sense. It affects everyone. But, you know, they're fighting it. I mean, look at the Chevron just gave, or before the election, they gave $2.5 million to a super PAC for House Republicans. The biggest campaign donation yet. And it backs all the people that are going to go out on a limb and stop the end of the tax breaks and subsidies for the oil companies.
So it's inconceivable to me. Just press pause there for a minute and say that in this country, we would give tax breaks to oil companies. I mean, really? That's just what the American people need to know. And it's one of my questions for you in terms of the role of the consumer. But I'm going back to when I saw your movie. It's like fiction to me. We don't really need to give tax breaks to the oil companies or the gas companies. They're doing quite well with their profits on their own. Mm-hmm. Well, so that was a little rant.
I don't know. Let me just jump on your rant for a second and think about it. The oil companies, they always blame the supply and demand for the price increase or speculation, you know, from another, you know, a bomb goes off in the Middle East and all of a sudden the gas prices rise. And what's so interesting, they say that they don't control the price at the pump. It's a supply and demand issue. But yet when you threaten to take away their subsidies or their tax breaks, the first thing they say is, well, it's going to make the price of gas increase.
Right, right.
Says, well, if you don't control the price, how is that possible?
Really?
Now, that's one of my favorite myths with them. We don't control the price, but yet if you're going to take anything away from them, then they threaten that, oh, well, you're just going to pay for it at the pump.
Because never would they say, if you do that, our profits are going to go down, which would be the other side of that. I mean, we're going to absorb that, and they wouldn't say that. So it's just,
well,
gets me agitated.
I would love, and you have Maria Cantwell, you have Dianne Feinstein, you have a lot of people that take on, or a few people that take on the oil companies, and I just would love for someone to stand up. And, you know, in the congressional hearings that Jeremy and I scan through and skim through to find tidbits for Gasol, you know, all the CEOs of the oil company looked at the people at the congressional hearing and said that they didn't need the tax breaks. They didn't need them.
And but so let's just give them to them anyway.
Yeah, well, they said, no, we don't need them. We're fine. I mean, they were put in place at a time where they weren't fine.
Right.
In the early 90s.
Right.
It was there for a reason. It was there to help them out. Now they're making billions and billions, and now they're not helping out the consumer or the people that are living check to check and have to get to work.
And once they get it, they're not going to want to say, okay, we can do with less. No, nobody in business does that. I mean, that's not true, but they don't.
And in fairness to them, because, you know, you don't want to, I mean, you hate to just keep pointing the finger at them.
Right.
But in fairness to them, why would they voluntarily give up billions in tax breaks?
Totally. I mean, really, if they're getting it, sure, just be quiet and go home and make sure that in your portfolio are some really big oil and gas companies, if that's exactly. if your number exactly. one goal is making money.
Go ahead. Making gas oil, and you know, you asked some of the surprises, and you know, it's so surreal to be talking about a film that we finished a few years ago, because I have to rattle my brain and rethink of what, you know, what some of the gotcha moments are. And I think a lot of it is the money that goes into Washington, how easily it is, if you just do a little bit of research, find out who's getting money from who, and then check out their voting records. Although, what, you know, a little rant with this whole election thing, we found out that, you know, even though you vote one way, you're allowed to change your vote later to make all your votes be consistent for when you run for election, which makes no sense.
So the election was a week ago Tuesday, right?
Mm-hmm.
We just found out who won in Arizona today for the Senate seat. Today.
Okay.
And it's, I'm like, oh, really, I'm going to wake up and I know I'm going to be in the modern world where they can actually count our votes before a week and a half go by. It's Arizona can be quite an embarrassment at times. Anyway, we're going to have to take another quick break. And when we come back, I'd like to talk about two things, and actually three. A little bit about what you think the role of the consumer can be, because we've got very active, engaged consumers. If one thing they can do is go and get a copy of your movie, what role can we play in bringing about change? I think it can be a really big one if we all find our voices. I'd like your thoughts on electric vehicles, and then we'll talk about Vengeance Now, which is your book, what it's all about, and how people can get a copy of it. Does that sound good?
Sounds fantastic.
And anything else you want to, because we'll have 20 minutes left. You're listening to Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. We're having a great discussion with Scott Roberts from Gas Hole, the movie. Stay here with me.
Go deep underwater without getting wet. Study bugs like a real scientist. Make your shadow move in colors. These are just three reasons to visit the exciting hands-on new exhibits at the Children's Museum Tucson, the region's only museum just for kids. For 25 years, we've ignited kids' imaginations at the Children's Museum Tucson. That's something to celebrate. And admission is only $2 on the first Sunday and on the 25th of each month this whole year. Children's Museum Tucson, where imagination and learning connect.
Hi there, this is Mrs. Green with some exciting news. The all-new 2013 Honda Accord is here. It's got a new level of sophistication. It's an efficiency expert, and when you drive one, you can discover how EcoAssist can help you increase your fuel efficiency. For a record 26th time, the Honda Accord has been named to Car and Driver's esteemed 10 Best list. To check them out, visit Chapman Honda at 4646 East 22nd Street. They have a great selection of 2013 Accords in stock right now.
At the University of Arizona, we're putting solar know-how to work. And it's not just our researchers. Our students are on the job as well. Our student solar racing team, using recycled solar cells from NASA, designed and built a car from scratch that gets the equivalent of over 3,000 miles per gallon. Talk about students who will go far. Really, really far. The University of Arizona. Big questions, bold solutions, better tomorrows.
Did you know that even a donated doorknob can help Habitat for Humanity? Habitat's Habistore accepts donated items like furniture, building materials, and appliances. Donations come from commercial builders, malls, restaurants, hotels, and individuals like you. Then, items are bought by bargain hunters who come across the very things they are looking for, just like the right doorknob. The best part is that Habistore sales generate funds for building homes. Call 520-889-7200 or visit habitattucson.org.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. And as promised, we're giving you lots to think about today with our guest, who is a repeat guest to Mrs. World, and I'm thrilled about that, Scott Roberts, who's one of the producers of the movie Gas Hole. And Scott, can I just read a very quick couple of sentences about your movie that's on your website? Because I think you and I are too comfortable with what the movie is about. And for listeners that might be saying, you know, we're part of an inside conversation here, but what really is the movie about? And it's an eye-opening documentary about the history of oil prices and sheds light on a secret that the big oil companies don't want you to know, that there are viable and affordable alternatives to petroleum fuel. It also provides a detailed examination of our continued dependence on foreign oil and examines various potential solutions, starting with claims of buried technology that dramatically improves gas mileage that we know are out there. That's not in there. That was Mrs. Green's comment. To navigating bureaucratic governmental roadblocks, to evaluating different alternative fuels that are technologically available now, to questioning the American consumer's reluctance to embrace alternatives. And before the break, I said to you, that's one of the things I wanted to talk about in this segment. So that gives you an idea what you can learn from the movie. It is anything but boring. It's riveting. You sit on the end of your seat. It's not a barrage of facts. It's a human movie, interactive and incredibly content rich. And it stayed with me all these years. I mean, it turned me into a true believer. So
I appreciate that so much. And what I can say, one of the biggest compliments that Jeremy and I have received from people who have seen the movie is, you know, people that say, you know, we're not really documentary people. We don't really watch many documentaries.
Because they're boring.
Right, exactly. It's like, listen, we don't want to go to history class. And when they say that they were just glued to the screen and then experienced several different emotions, from anger to sadness to then getting fired up and wanting to do something.
Right, disbelief was mine. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So, yeah, that's right. It's one that you press pause if you have to go to the restroom and come back because you don't want to miss a minute of it.
Yeah, and as a filmmaker, I mean, that's a huge compliment. You want to entertain as well as educate, and you want to kind of start a little fire under people to get involved and take action.
So how do you weigh in on electric vehicles? It's, you know, they're doing a lot here with the Volt. And, you know, I have very mixed feelings about it as a consumer and as Mrs. Green. I haven't weighed in 100% because I say here in Tucson, if you plug your vehicle in, the electricity is still coming from dirty coal, which TEP is trying to change. But the reality is it's still not what I would consider a true alternative energy vehicle.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I have to watch my step when I start talking about General Motors and the Volt, because Jeremy and I got into a huge altercation with the General Motors Alternative Fuels Division people over our film, because we criticized, not in the film, but later in interviews, we criticized the Volt.
And I did not know that. That's not a leading question on my part at all.
Yeah, we got into an altercation because we shed some light on some facts that we don't think that they really wanted put out there. I mean, when you spend years and years and millions of dollars developing a vehicle that's supposed to change the way electric vehicles work, and then it comes out that you can get, 25 miles, 40 miles on one charge?
Right,
I mean,
right.
I just thought the technology was a waste. The money, they could have done better. That's just
my
opinion. And, you know, they say, well, you know, it's a start, and we'll... But they've been working on it for years and kept saying, we're rolling out the Volt, we're rolling out the Volt, and they never did. And now it comes, and it's a huge price tag. And so, you know, talking about how can consumers get involved and participate, well, the average consumer is not going to be able to afford the Volt. You know,
I totally agree. Or to put a charging station in your house, and I don't want to knock them either, and people could say, oh yeah, well, Chapman's your sponsor, but I did a lot of research about my Jetta, and it wins awards all the time. Clean burning, fuel efficient. When we were on the road, and Mr. Green can shake his head, we were getting upward of 45, 47 miles an hour when we were on the highway. You know, maybe not that much, but at least holding 40.
You mean miles per gallon?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's it's such, you know, and like you said earlier, for a majority of the consumers who may or may not be passionate about a topic, but it really comes down to dollars and what you can afford. And, you know, I mean, to get, I mean, who can, in today's economy, what percentage of people can go out and drop $40,000 or $50,000 on a Chevy Tahoe or whatever? That's
that's one of the ones that kills me. And they say they're fuel efficient. It's like, oh no, not really.
Well, it's so
they're
funny.
Better.
You look at the fuel; it's like 3 miles per gallon difference on the highway.
Yeah, right.
It's something. It's like, well, and those are EPA numbers, and those can vary plus or minus. So. Yeah, but in terms of consumers, you know, taking the movie on the road, doing the Q&As, and people ask, what can we do? And it's tough because, you know, you have more people know who the contestants on American Idol or The Voice are more than who's running in their own district.
And I'm not one of those. I'm proud to say I don't know. I did know. I got a lot more involved in politics here than this year than maybe I ever have, but I thought there was a lot at stake for women especially. So I took a much more active stand. So, but I don't know who's on American Idol. And I think it's a great show, so I'm not knocking it at all. But
right. I mean, you got to have a balance.
Yeah, you got to have fun.
But, you know, when more people know those contestants than your own representatives, and, you know, people make sure to vote 10 times for their favorite singer, but yet don't make it to the polls, to vote in the general election.
Good point.
It's shocking. And that's, you know, what can you do? Well, you can ask, you know, you can get involved. You can educate yourself. You can find out voting records and positions on legislation that's important to you. And you can advocate for the people that think along your lines and promote them. But it's frustrating because it really comes down to, and Jamie Court said it best in Gasol, if you speak out against big oil, they're going to spend against you, and if you support them, they're going to give you money to beat any opponent that runs against you.
Yeah, and that's sad and true. But the consumer, too, to me, part of this, the call to action for consumers, that you can find your voice through the political system. I totally agree. If you can, you can buy a more fuel-efficient car. They're getting lower in prices. Some of the Hondas and the VWs, they really are bringing them down. And that's not just because Chapman is my sponsor. I picked them, too. I approached them and said, you know, you have five of the top 10 most fuel-efficient cars by Car and Driver. Do you want to talk? So there's a story there. But consumers can do things like carpool. And like for my husband and I, when we're going out to dinner with maybe three couples, we bring one car now, and we just pick them up. Little things like that really do help with, you know, cutting down on the fuel that we consume. So there, you look at your lifestyle, you plan your routes. You know, we have lots more people here, you know, riding their bikes to work, and I don't mind that when they're on safe bike paths, which Tucson is building more and more of, but there are other things. Now, I'm really worried because I want to talk to you about your book, and I don't want the time to fly without being able to talk about it, because I'm telling you, I don't know if you're going to talk about any of your pain. I want to know what the book is about, and I have to go back to the drawing board on mine because of the length. So I thought I had finished writing a book, but publishers want a few more words.
Yeah, it's... you know, but first, let me just say real quick, you know, Gasol is available. It's available all over the United States and around the world. It's available here on Netflix. You can watch it for free on Hulu.com.
I love Hulu. We were just talking about Hulu. My daughters use Hulu. They don't have a TV.
Yeah.
And I'm going to check out Hulu. We have a TV, but I was at a mixer last night for business, and this woman said, I gave up my TV. I just watched things on Hulu, and she was my age. And I went, really? And so I'm going to be checking out Hulu. So Gasol can be seen on Hulu. That's great.
Hulu.com, Netflix, can be bought on all the typical websites, you know, Amazon.
Right, right.
And you can purchase it directly through Cinema Libre Studio, which is our domestic distributor, which a link to their company is on gasholemovie.com, our website.
Right, which is a great website, and it's got lots of fun stuff to read.
Yeah, and actually, you know, come on over to the Gashole, our Facebook page. We have, you know, quite a few people on there, and I post, you know, articles like what we were talking about, you know, on Chevron, and I open discussion topics and post little things and try and keep a dialogue going. So, you know, go to Gashole, the Facebook page, and like it so you can get updates on that.
Right, an engaged community. I looked at it. I agree.
And then, you know, now talking about, you know, the health of the planet and such huge topics, now we're going to flip completely 180 degrees and talk about Vengeance Is Now, which is it's pure fiction, and it's an erotic crime thriller.
You're kidding me.
No, it's
that's
it's funny,
okay.
Because your producer's like, oh, and I was like, I'd talk about the book, and I didn't know if she thought it was in the same topic or not, but...
I love it that you... That's great. So is it like, what's that one, 50 Shades of Grey, only a little
different? No, but the... no,
I can't believe I said that on the air.
Wow, but you know what? Well, there's a couple chapters that I'm a little hesitant for my mother to read.
Yeah, let's not be sharing that on Mrs. Green's World. A lot of kids listen to this.
Oh, no. Well, then, listen, if you
I'm
like,
only kidding. I'm only kidding. It's like, let's we're all grown-ups, and they can turn the button off. That's how I always feel. Move over.
But I think it's a very fun, it's fast-paced. I think a lot of my writing style stems from my screenwriting.
Right.
So it's very fast-paced. I was very fortunate enough to be approached by 3L Publishing, Michelle Gamble, and asked to write a book.
Might be looking her up, so I'm writing it down.
No, she's fantastic. They've been completely supportive. Bo Bradley, Michelle Gamble. I mean, great people to work for, because how I met them, I have been doing some book coaching on the side and helping other authors get their scripts and books off the ground. And they saw the work that I was doing with some of their clients and offered me the book deal. And they've been fabulous to work with. It's 3L Publishing. And I encourage you to look them up and check them out.
I wrote it down, believe me.
Vengeance Is Now, the book cover, the art. I'm just so lucky and so excited about it, done by Erin Pace Molina. She's fantastic, and the design is really, really exciting. And it follows Tate Holloway, which is a former detective and now private investigator who gets caught up in a murder from a serial killer who he supposedly killed 8 years earlier. And there's, you know, there's sex, there's political corruption, there's an interesting reveal at the end that I think will shock everyone. And 3L's so happy with the book that it looks like it's going to be a series of books.
That's awesome. Character. And, you know, it sounds very much, you know, you said it's fiction, but there's a lot going on this week that you can just say, boy, I was before that guy.
Yeah.
And letting it know. And I think that's great. So
it's
about
a 4-star general. No, I'm just kidding.
It's like, you know, and I just, we've been talking about it a lot, and, you know, he did a lot of really good things, but boy, was he dumb, because if you don't think that people can find your emails, your texts, everything else, if you're going to do something, just be smarter about it. I mean, that's maybe not the right thing to say on Mrs. Green's World, but come on, dude, what were you thinking?
Well, he wasn't doing the thinking.
He wasn't doing the thinking, seriously. So we're going to have to say goodbye to our friend Scott Roberts. Not goodbye forever.
I just plug the Vengeance Is Now? There's also a Facebook page that just hit today that's going to get updates on.
Yes, I do. I like a little bell ringing when it's like late breaking news. Vengeance Now Facebook page. Okay. Thank you, Scott Roberts from Gashole give my best to Jeremy. Thanks for what you're doing to the planet. Everybody out there, thanks for being a part of my world. Melinda Sewellflow from organicconsumers.org. They've got over 100,000 active followers on Facebook. I am sure Melinda will have lots to share about what's going on in the organic consumers world. Please plan to join me. Happy Thanksgiving and God bless.